Serving Columbus for over 60 years. AM 1580, WVKO Columbus.
News Radio, I'm Alex Witt. Hundreds of mourners are remembering the victims of the Aurora, Colorado movie theater massacre. Jensen Young says her boyfriend, John Blunk, of the U.S. military, sacrificed his life so she could get out of the theater alive.
John just took a bullet for me. I was thinking about what a great hero he is. And, like, I wouldn't keep... provided me the opportunity to survive through that, and he just knew.
He was one of 12 killed. 58 more were shot. Suspect James Holmes remains in custody. NBC Today Show co-host Savannah Guthrie says police are investigating the arsenal Holmes is accused of using in the deadly shooting.
Investigators say he used a military-style semi-automatic rifle, a shotgun, and a pistol, and was armed with 6,000 rounds of ammunition. He had purchased all of it legally in recent weeks.
Holmes will have his first court appearance Monday. This is NBC News Radio.
Your one true voice of reason in Central Ohio. AM 1580, WVKO, Columbus.
Meat Packers Outlet, Columbus's good old-fashioned retail meat market. For the best deals around on all your meat purchases, visit Meat Packers Outlet at 317 South 5th Street, downtown. Meat Packers Outlet is family-owned and operated and has proudly been serving Columbus with fresh-cut meats since 1957. Meat Packers Outlet has daily low prices on beef, pork, poultry, and deli items. This week's specials include a 10-pound bag of hamburger for $19.90, thick sliced bacon $3.99 a pound, chicken wings just $2.49 a pound, and deli sliced honey ham just $2.99 a pound. Need a deli tray for your next get-together? Call ahead and order yours now at 469-1720. That's 469-1720. Open 8 to 6, close Sundays. Meat Packers Outlet, 317 South 5th Street at East Main, downtown. Don't forget, there's always plenty of free parking in the back. Locally owned, independently owned, Meat Packers Outlet. Call 469-1720.
They risked their lives when we needed their help, and now their families need our help. Get Behind the Badge is Central Ohio's only charity helping families of both fire and police first responders critically injured or killed on or off duty. Join us for a golf outing, a Texas Hold'em tournament, a poker run, a skeet shoot, a car show, and a charity concert, all to raise funds August 17th through the 18th. The Badge Bash concert at the Bluestone on East Broad Street Saturday, August 18th will feature five local bands and a special appearance by the Columbus Police and Fire Pipes and Drums. During our silent auction, you'll be able to bid on items donated by OSU, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Columbus Clippers, Columbus Crew, and dozens of other local businesses. Get a raffle ticket for a chance to win a 2012 Harley-Davidson Fat Boy Low or a 2012 Mazda 3. Don't wait to get involved. Bid online now for a sitting by tattoo artist and reality show star Tattoo Tony Rodriguez. The package includes dinner and limo service. For the live internet auction and for more information about the entire weekend, check out getbehindthebadge.org.
Have you seen the WVKO truck driving around town? Well, I hope you have a chance to check it out soon because it's a great way to advertise the Progressive Voice. And it's all thanks to Graphics for You, which is the bomb. Custom graphics by artist-in-residence Michael Sherrill. Graphics for You specializes in vehicle wraps, vehicle graphics, banner signs, and a whole lot more. Heck, they can even wrap floors and walls. Check out their website at graphicsforyou.com. That's GRAFX4YOU.com. I'll tell you what, they did a great job on our WVKO truck. Graphics for You and MES Paints are local companies owned and operated by Michael Sherrill. See the difference for yourself. Visit graphicsforyou.com or MESPaints.com. Or you can call 777-9715. If it can be covered, they can cover it.
This is Charles Traylor, and I just want to let you know that Front Street with Charles Traylor is back. If you enjoy urban progressive talk, you will love Front Street. If it is on the front page, It's on Front Street. We will be back home on 1580 WBKO, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. every Sunday. So join me for a frank, uncompromising discussion on the issues most important to you. Remember, Front Street is back on 1580 WBKO, the best in progressive talk.
So you go on YouTube, right, to find a song from back in the day, right on? When you find it, you see some jerk has uploaded it with a video of a record going around and around. Don't be that guy. To be sure you're never tempted to be an internet dweeb, get rid of your vinyl records and profit from them. Go to Use Kids Records at 1980 North High Street across from the OSU campus. Use Kids buys vinyl records, CDs, and DVDs, but they just love vinyl. And that's why they have Vinyl Mondays at Use Kids, where you'll get 20% off on all used vinyl. So why not trade in your vinyl records for cash? Then you can buy some more vinyl at Use Kids Records, 1980 North High Street. And if your record collection is so big you can't haul it in yourself, call Use Kids at 421-9455 and they'll come to you. That's 421-9455. And remember, leave your 8-tracks in the basement where they belong.
Talk 1580 WDKO invites you to Bravo's First Country Carnival Saturday, July 21st at In Rehab. Your $10 admission helps Bravo provide advocacy and support for LGBT persons in the fight against hate crimes and domestic violence. At Cow Poker Rustles Up the Morning News, Sean Gilbert will be there. Plenty of great entertainment, music, vendors, raffles, food, and ice cold drinks. That's Saturday, July 21st from 2 to 11 p.m. at In Rehab, 627 Greenlawn Avenue, just west of I-71. The Bravo Country Carnival with media sponsorship from Talk 1580 WDKO and Outlook Media.
Tune in Sunday night at 9 as we dig into the vinyl vault on the new 1580 WBKO. Hi, I'm Tim Morris. Join me this Sunday evening from 9 to midnight. We'll dig through the old record library and pull out platters that haven't been heard on the airwaves in years. Join me this Sunday at 9 and we'll party like it's 1969.
Don't you ever listen to the radio when the big band beat comes on.
It's time to fight back with Dr. Bob Fetrakis. To join the conversation, call the studio line at area code 614-821-1580. And now, here's Dr. Bob.
Get up, stand up. Indeed, it is Dr. Bob in the studio live here at 1021 East Broad Street. And we're going to fight back. 821-1580, the number to call. We're going to talk about the prison industrial complex. And we've got a filmmaker, Derek Jones, and hopefully someone who starred in that documentary, Natural, on the line. But what bothers me about the United States, what bothers me is these narratives that kind of say, remotely, almost as if they're kind of, we're the freest and greatest country in the world. Oh, are we? With 4% of the world's population, we've locked up nearly a quarter of the people on the planet. Half of them black in the federal prisons. Most of them poor. 800,000 for simple possession of marijuana. We're the least free country in the world. The least free. It's a near police state. The police shoot the wrong guys coming out of theaters. And then in rural areas, you got the NRA in suburban areas with so much power that you got people walking around with AKs. But they ain't the ones that go to jail, are they? So when you think about this, look, we've locked up a higher percentage and more people than Stalin in the old Soviet Union. But we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about the tripling. Here's what we did in the 1970s, right? We outsourced our jobs to Mexico and to China, took the greatest manufacturing country in the history of the world in order to kiss the ass of the multinational corporations that are structured for profit. We sent our jobs overseas and then arrested most of the population, destroying the middle class, destroying the working class neighborhoods, unleashing a police state. And then we're the freest and greatest country in the world. We all know that's bull. We're a police state that exists and makes Mitt Romney happy. That's how he makes his money, shipping jobs overseas, a vulture capitalist who cuts up countries. And what helps him do that? Prison industrial complex. And Obama ain't helping either. He's raiding, the people that are growing medical marijuana out there in California. We need a change. And hopefully the movie by Derek Jones is going to get to the bottom. It's called The Great Incarcerator. Welcome to Fight Back.
Thank you very much. I'm here, Naturals here, and we're ready to roll.
All right. What do you want to tell me about this film you made and Natural helped you with it, is in on the movie yourself and has experience with this prison industrial complex. What do you want to tell the listeners of Fight Back?
Well, Dark Little Secret is a part of a film series called The Great Incarcerator. It's the first film in the series, and it examines the United States prison system and basically the dark little secret being that in the United States prison system is basically the front for the continuation of legalized slavery in this country. That slavery never really ended in the United States, and it was just amended to take on a different form, and that form is through the United States prison system.
All right, so the dark little secret is that this is nothing more than the continuation of apartheid, Jim Crow, the old racist slave system, and sharecropping system. And this is just the newest form of it that develops.
And, indeed, and it's a situation. Michelle Alexander describes as a situation where we have this system that morphs and adapts with the times. Of course, you know, in 2012, we look at ourselves as a nation and say, oh, we don't want, nor do we support slavery. But we talk about it in the context as it existed before the historical abolition of slavery in the United States in the 1860s, and so we use that as the reference of saying what it is that we don't support when it comes to slavery, not realizing and recognizing that slavery in that form might have been abolished, but it was just transformed into something else in order to keep that system going.
And I know Natural's there, and she's had some relationship with that prison industrial complex. What can you tell us about it?
Good morning. Yeah, I've had my own personal experiences within the prison industrial complex, and I don't know. I think that the standard individual in the United States, the normal everyday Joe guy, may not understand that the prison system is being perpetuated. That this is happening on purpose. This is not an accident that we have such a booming prison system in the United States. And that's because it is a profit-making industry. That corporations all over the world are tapping into the United States prison system in order to make money on those bodies that are there, which obviously is going to present a conflict of interest in regards to trying to stop the prison system from doing what it's doing or abolish it from doing what it's doing. Clearly, if someone's making money off of it, they're going to figure out a way to keep it going, and that, in fact, it needs to keep going in order for that profit to continue.
Yeah, there's sort of a triad there, right? You've got a military-industrial complex that absorbs and uses black, poor whites out in what can only be called as wars for fossil fuels, to perpetuate an empire, and Americans don't like to talk about empire, but when you got 800 military bases, at least overseas, and the next highest country is Great Britain with 3, and Russia's only got 1 outside of the old Soviet territory, a small port in Syria, that's an empire. But you've also, on top of that, you have this prison industrial complex, and then increasingly a security industrial complex with the police first wanting the military helicopters for surveillance and now wanting the drones to do urban surveillance. This system looks like it all works together, and it's really based.
Absolutely.
Is it true?
Yes, absolutely. And one cannot disconnect also the education industrial complex in the United States. The same corporations that build facilities for prisons are essentially the ones that design our educational institutions as well. And there's an intermarriage between all of these industrial complexes, and it's not so difficult to see if you just dig for a few facts. Many people in the United States are not aware of the fact that 85% of all military uniforms, boots, helmets, flak gear, etc., are actually manufactured in federal prisons in the United States. And so there is a very obvious marriage between them, and it is all put together, laid out, and presented to us under a guise in order to keep the citizens of this country under some form of complex control. So, yeah, there's absolutely no denying the fact that there are several industrial complexes that are at work in the United States to make sure that we remain the underprivileged, the underheard, and the imprisoned in some way, fashion, shape, or form. You know, when you look at our education system, we're not preparing our students for the global economy in any way, fashion. The question then becomes, well, what are we preparing them for? And when you're bringing up the fact that there is a notion of us being the land of the free and the home of the brave, et cetera, et cetera, that is really what the education system is doing. It's simply encouraging students in our society to believe that we're the best nation, regardless of the fact that we're not the best at anything at this point in time. Derek and I were recently watching a documentary which was explaining how the United States has fallen detrimentally in regards to industry, has fallen detrimentally in regards to all forms of education, from math to science to technology, and that the one thing that United States students rank highest in is confidence. We seem to think that we're doing just fine.
We're special.
But yes, if you were to compare, and not just special enough to be who we are and be that individually, but so special that everyone else should be like us too. And if the entirety of the world operated under the same guise and notion as we do, you know, there would probably be no success in our world other than that of those very, you know, very, that very small percentage of individuals who are running things in this world. So, yeah, this is definitely, it's happening, and people need to recognize the connectivity betwixt all of that.
The Great Incarcerator, Part 1, Dark Little Secret. It'll be showing Tuesday, coming right up. It's Saturday now, Tuesday, July 24th, 7:30. At the Drexel Theater, 2254 East Main Street in Bexley. We're going to have Derek Jones, who's on the radio, and Natural with us to lead us in a discussion afterward. So the areas we are number one in, greatest wealth inequality. The top 1% own more wealth than the bottom 96%. And no other democracy can come and touch us in terms of us giving the wealthiest people the most money and allowing them to take that wealth out of the country. You're sitting around with $1.5 trillion in Swiss bank account, the Cayman Islands, offshore in other countries. And our military is there defending these multinational corporations while the country rots and while we build the greatest prison industrial complex on Earth. Again, 4% of the world's population, nearly 25% of everyone on planet Earth in jail or prison is in prison in the United States. And what do? Franz Fanon, Paulo Freire, the others have pointed out, control the narrative, control the mind, call it freedom. What does your movie do, Derek, to dispel some of this mythology and narrative that clearly benefits the wealthiest people in this nation?
Well, I mean, we just basically try to go with you know, factual information and experience. And the thing is that we, you know, firmly believe that, you know, people are going to have opinions. Everybody's going to have opinions about the prison system one way or another. But the reality is that we have to also have to look at the facts. And then the really disappointing thing is that when it comes to the facts, especially what we learn in our education system about the United States, United States history, the United States Constitution, we find out how, even myself included, in studying up on a lot of these things, finding out how much of it we never really learned, or how much of it we don't really, we've been conditioned to not really care about. How many people walking around the United States actually know what our Constitution says, or what our laws are. They have just basically ideals, and we watch how in a political society how it's not really about what's really going on. It's about how it's spun in the news. It's about how it's perceived by people, and the perceptions that people have are usually catered to and weighed a lot more than the facts. And so what our film tries to do is to just say that, hey, we have this system in place. It's a fact that we have this system in place, and we need people to care about it. And this is why people should care about it, because we say we live in a society that abolished slavery, does not condone slavery, and yet at the same time we allow for it to exist. A lot of times, very much unaware of it, and very much we find ourselves supporting slavery under the guise of freedom, democracy.
Well, the Brennan Center just did a study. It looks like these election laws from ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, are going to purge 10 million American voters, deny 10 million Americans eligible to vote, going to deny them the right to vote. The largest single group, of course, will be African Americans, but the young will be thrown in, the elderly, those that are the most powerless in the young, and the elderly. And this can't be done in any other democracy. In the European Union, you have a constitutional right to vote. We have this massive security industrial complex, this spy apparatus that, you know, spies on everyone but can't find the eligible people to vote and allows states' rights, that code word, at the state level to purge people. Ohio has purged 1 million voters since the 2008 election. We're going to talk about that with Natural and Derek Jones right after the break. Is it all part of the same system? We'll be right back on Fight Back.
The fight has just begun. Fight Back with Dr. Bob Petrakis is back after this short break.
For all your t-shirt printing needs, see Custom Print Tees in Whitehall. Family-owned Custom Print Tees specializes in printing, design, and embroidery. They do direct garment printing. Get full-color, photo-quality images printed directly onto light or dark t-shirts or long sleeves with no setup fees. Send your artwork for a quote to customer service at CustomPrintTees.com. Mention WVKO and buy one shirt and get one free. Visit them at CustomPrintTees.com or call 614-483-1120. That's 483-1112. Or see them in person at 103 South Yearling Road. Custom Print Tee. Your choice. Your voice. An Italian dream. That's the Florentine. A true Columbus landmark at 907 West Broad Street. Family owned and operated, the Florentine has proudly served their homemade pasta since 1945. The Florentine is also known for their friendly staff, homemade house Italian dressing, and all-you-can-eat spaghetti night Tuesday through Thursday. Lunch and dinner specials daily, and always plenty of free parking. The Florentine. It's an Italian dream.
Talk 1580 WBKO and VIT, YouTube Bravo's first country carnival, Saturday, July 21st at Eden Rehab. Your $10 admission helps Bravo provide advocacy and support for LGBT persons in the fight against hate crimes and domestic violence. At Cow Poker Wrestles Up the Morning News, Sean Gilbo will be there. Plenty of great entertainment, music, vendors, raffles, food, and ice and cold drinks. That's Saturday, July 21st from 2 to 11 p.m. at Eden Rehab, 627 Greenlawn Avenue, just west of I-71. The Bravo Country Carnival with media sponsorship from Talk 1580 WBKO and Outlook Media.
They risked their lives when we needed their help, and now their families need our help. Get Behind the Badge is Central Ohio's only charity helping families of both fire and police first responders critically injured or killed on or off duty. Join us for a golf outing, a Texas Hold'em tournament, a poker run, a skeet shoot, a car show, and a charity concert, all to raise funds August 17th through the 18th. The Badge Bash concert at the Bluestone on East Broad Street Saturday, August 18th will feature five local bands and a special appearance by the Columbus Police and Fire Pipes and Drums. During our silent auction, you'll be able to bid on items donated by OSU, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Columbus Clippers, Columbus Crew, and dozens of other local businesses. Get a raffle ticket for a chance to win a 2012 Harley-Davidson Fat Boy Low or a 2012 Mazda 3. Don't wait to get involved. Bid online now for a sitting by tattoo artist and reality show star Tattoo Tony Rodriguez. The package includes dinner and limo service. For the live internet auction and for more information about the entire weekend, check out getbehindthebadge.org.
We're back with Fight Back. Here once again is Dr. Bob Petrakis.
That's right. You got to fight the powers that be. And we got two people on the line with us that you can meet on Tuesday at July 24th at 7:30 at the Drexel Theater, 2254 East Main Street. For free, come and meet Derek Jones, the filmmaker, and a natural who is featured in The Great Incarcerator, Dark Little Secret. And they're spelling it out in this video and in a discussion afterwards how money is being made off a racist and class-based attack on people. The Ohio prison industries, I know a few years ago, Derek and Natural, was paying people 40 cents an hour or less and forcing them, coercing them to work while in prison. How does that fit into the picture?
I think that people should understand first of all, we've been talking about how the United States prison system is slavery and what the Constitution says, and we haven't actually said it. It's necessary for people to understand that the 13th Amendment of the United States Constitution says that neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as punishment for crime, wherein the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. I.e., slavery exists in the prison system. People should understand that that is legal, that is, the exception exists in the 13th Amendment for a very distinct reason. And before I go any further with that, I'd like to say, you mentioned before the break about whether or not all of this is connected and the purging, in regards to the purging of voters. Mm-hmm. Well, the truth of the matter is despite the fact that we're not necessarily on the cutting edge of the technology, information technology has completely permeated our world. So all of this information that we've put together and compiled to make these films is at the fingertips of everyone. This isn't a secret. It's something that you can Google and find out plenty of information on. So the information is right there at the fingertips. The subsequent reaction to the government that we exist under is going to be to stop people from having an ability to change it. So clearly, the removal and purging of voters from Ohio and other places within the United States is a necessity in regards to, if you can purge the votes of 8 million people, then you're essentially matching up the numbers of those people who are incarcerated and under some form of state or federal control right mm-hmm. now. It all makes perfect sense that those numbers come out so closely. I mean, in and of itself is one excellent way that they found to purge people of their right to vote, their right to quote-unquote bear arms, though many of the right-wingers seem to think that's so terribly important. At the end of the day, it's a necessity to understand that all of this is connected. The film is digging into what it means to have an allowance for slavery. The automatic assumption is that it is all about race, and people do need to understand that in the United States, that wasn't even the case initially with enslaving people. That the racial side of slavery came into existence after slavery, and that it was very much orchestrated. And yes, there are terribly skewed numbers of people, you know, of color within the prison systems than there are people who are not of color. That does exist. However, if we just look at slavery in regards to what it stands for, which is profit based on human rights violations, you can look at the prison system and see that happening all the way throughout. And that is exactly what Dark Little Secret exposes, and we also talk about those corporations who are fighting to make money on the enslavement of human beings. In Ohio, yes, it's not an uncommonality at this point to make 40 cents or less a day. That definitely ties in because 9 times out of 10, these inmates are providing services or manufacturing, packaging, and or selling the goods of corporations which make vast amounts of money on what it is that with the service they're providing or the product they're creating or selling.
Well,
and
yeah,
that money-making scheme is all a part of slavery.
And you make a great point. I remember when I was in law school and we studied the predecessor cases on slavery, which go back to circa 1660s in places like Virginia, Tobacco Road. And you're right, they were white indentured servants. They just found it was easier, you know, when they sentenced the first black man to slavery, essentially, and his child who was born. It really was based on needing workers to exploit on Tobacco Row there in the Carolinas and Virginia, and it was just easy to target a minority group because the whites and the blacks were running away. They didn't like the brutal exploitation of indentured servitude, and we just institutionalize that, right? It's a lot easier to subtract surplus value from somebody if they're a slave or incarcerated, which is the same thing as you're pointing out. Derek.
And I guess to kind of highlight the you know, race didn't initially have anything to do with business. Was just looking up to make sure that what you're referring to in the first person who was sentenced to slavery in Virginia, their actual slave owner is black. And able to petition for this person's servitude for life.
And then of course you've got a decision that says, what do you do with this child who was born when he was enslaved for life? And it was like, of course, they're enslaved for life as well.
Yeah, and so what we try to do in the film is initially try to appeal to people's sense of reality about the situation, not about how we personally feel or have been conditioned to feel about inmates and what they mean for society and who they are. So we try and go into a little bit of detail about how it is that this prison system exists as it does today. Initially, we wanted to do a film that was covering the Lucasville uprising in Ohio, the Southern Ohio Correctional Facility in 1993, and Natural tells the story much better than I do, but was able to basically ask me what it was that was going to make people care about what was going on with Lucasville because of the attitudes that people possessed about the prison system in general already, and their outlook on inmates and they believe people deserve the punishment that they get. And so it'd be difficult for a film watching audience to really even have an understanding of why they should even care about these people who were in prison for obviously things that they did wrong. And if they're on death row, then obviously they are supposed to be there. So why do I care about the fact that they're there? And so we try with our film to go into what we call Prison Industrial Complex 101. If you've never heard of the Prison Industrial Complex, if you're not aware of the fact that slavery is still legal in the United States, then this is a good film to watch to get some understanding about those facts and figures and issues and what we do to people in the prison system. Maybe we might have a better understanding of where they are coming from or where people are coming from when they are fighting against the system and why they are fighting against the system.
821-1580 if you've got a question for Derek or for Natural. And obviously the system itself involves pre-incarceration as well as post-incarceration. I mean, when I go down and I'm a licensed attorney of the Franklin County court system, you see people there overwhelmingly people of color, people without attorneys. You see that the justice itself, if they have a public defender, versus a highly paid attorney. The justice is different, that they're supporting bail bondsmen. They're putting lawyers to work, judges to work, police officers to work, deputy sheriffs to work, and probation officers, is that there's a huge profit margin that is built in to this prison industrial complex. Isn't that true, Natural?
Absolutely. When you tap into the notion of what it takes to actually run an institution, what it takes to arrest somebody, what it takes to put them through the judicial system process, and once again, what it takes to actually run an institution, the reality is that there are now corporations clamoring to be the ones to earn those profits. I mean, the prisons and jails need electricity. They need running water. The inmates need mattresses to sleep on and sheets to put on said mattresses, the uniforms that they wear, the food that they eat. I know in the state of Ohio, I've talked about my own experience within the complex. I was incarcerated from 2001 to 2003. Just before I arrived to the prison, you could have your family send in all types of things, from televisions to cigarettes, et cetera, et cetera. Once I got there, we were still allowed to get food boxes and clothing boxes, two of each per year. And you still could only have so many things while there. But since me leaving the institution, the law has changed such that Ohio only allows for inmates to order on commissary now. So you've got everything from the bags of chips that they're eating to the Nike shoes that they're purchasing, you know, the credits that they're using for the telephone system. At the end of the day, you're talking about all different types of ways to make money, not to mention the actual building of the institutions themselves, the staffing of the institutions, et cetera, et cetera. That's all money generating. And that still, once again, doesn't even touch into the fact that inmates must go to work. You know, you speak of the fact that they get paid 40 cents a day, and they're, if that, and they are forced to go to their job every day. Otherwise, the option is solitary confinement or going to the hole. And yet, there are many cases where it's simply the inmates that are running the institution. I mean, they're doing all of the cooking, they're doing all of the cleaning, they're working in the library, they're being trustees or porters so that they can do all of the pickup around the you know, and they're basically doing the jobs that other people would be doing under any other circumstances. But the inmates are doing those jobs, and then they are also being contracted out to manufacture, package, and sell products to large corporations that we support every single day without being in the prison system.
821-1580, give us a call. Articles that that we've done here at thefreepress.org and the Columbus Free Press over the years, we found that people at the workhouse in there for misdemeanors in Franklin County were sifting without proper respirators and hazmat suits, were sifting through toxic dust that had dioxin in it in order to remove metals that had been melted down in an incinerator. Cases I've been involved in and reported on. The workers aren't covered by workers' comp because they're prisoners. One who was working in the kitchen fell in the hole, destroyed his knees. Others that were taken out of prison during the day to shovel up, essentially pigeon dropping, but didn't have the things they needed to cover their body, so they were at risk in getting diseases from the pigeon droppings. And again, they're not covered under workman's comp because they're prisoners.
Right, and it basically boils down to, as long as we live in a society that considers a segment of people to be expendable people, we are going to find ourselves in a situation where not only will we can get away with said treatment of people, but also we can have a segment of society that either doesn't care or encourages that treatment of people. You know, they used to say that slavery was good for the slaves. And as long as we have that mentality about people, whether they be poor people, whether they be women, whether they be people of color, no matter what categories of boxes that you could check for people, as long as we consider those people, whoever those people are, to be expendable, then we're going to use them in an expendable fashion. We're not going to take care of them in the manner that we would take care of ourselves or our own people that we consider to be important or valuable or precious. And so it doesn't surprise us that in a society where we have determined legally that slavery can continue and it can continue in this fashion, that we have to have a socialization that puts these people in a different class and in a different priority level. They are expendable people in our socialization. We are trained and brainwashed to believe that, so that we don't care about the injustice that's taking place against them. And we have the opportunity, the ability, we have all the resources at our fingertips to be able to fight for that. And in the manners that we do fight for it, we see that the powers that be are working very hard to minimize or limit that that ability to fight. By in some points of our history, murdering, incarcerating, or denying the rights and privileges of the vote to people who can change that type of system.
And the Correction Corporation of America a few years back got busted for referring to its cells as profit units. We're going to talk to Natural, ask her to take a look and analyze that for us. The prison cell is a profit unit. When we come back on Fight Back.
The fight has just begun. Fight Back with Dr. Bob Petrakis is back after this short break.
For all your t-shirt printing needs, see Custom Print Tees in Whitehall. Family-owned Custom Print Tees specializes in printing, design, and embroidery. They do direct garment printing. Get full-color, photo-quality images printed directly onto light or dark t-shirts or long sleeves with no setup fees. Send your artwork for a quote to customer service at CustomPrintTees.com. Mention WVKO and buy one shirt and get one free. Visit them at CustomPrintTees.com or call 614-483-1112. That's 483-1112. Or see them in person at 103 South Yearling Road. Custom Print Tee. Your choice. Your voice. An Italian dream. That's the Florentine. A true Columbus landmark at 907 West Broad Street. Family owned and operated, the Florentine has proudly served their homemade pasta since 1945. The Florentine is also known for their friendly staff, homemade house Italian dressing, and all-you-can-eat spaghetti night Tuesday through Thursday. Lunch and dinner specials daily, and always plenty of free parking. The Florentine. It's an Italian dream.
Talk 1580 WBKO invites you to Bravo's First Country Carnival Saturday, July 21st at In Rehab. Your $10 admission helps Bravo provide advocacy and support for LGBT persons in the fight against hate crimes and domestic violence. At Cow Poker Russell's Up the Morning News, Sean Gilbert will be there. Plenty of great entertainment, music, vendors, raffles, food, and ice cold drinks. That's Saturday, July 21st from 2 to 11 p.m. at In Rehab, 627 Greenlawn Avenue, just west of I-71. The Bravo Country Carnival with media sponsorship from Talk 1580 WBKO and Outlook Media.
They risked their lives when we needed their help, and now their families need our help. Get Behind the Badge is Central Ohio's only charity helping families of both fire and police first responders critically injured or killed on or off duty. Join us for a golf outing, a Texas Hold'em tournament, a poker run, a skeet shoot, a car show, and a charity concert, all to raise funds August 17th through the 18th. The Badge Bash concert at the Bluestone on East Broad Street Saturday, August 18th will feature five local bands and a special appearance by the Columbus Police and Fire Pipes and Drums. During our silent auction, you'll be able to bid on items donated by OSU, the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Columbus Clippers, Columbus Crew, and dozens of other local businesses. Get a raffle ticket for a chance to win a 2012 Harley-Davidson Fat Boy Low or a 2012 Mazda 3. Don't wait to get involved. Bid online now for a sitting by tattoo artist and reality show star Tattoo Tony Rodriguez. The package includes dinner and limo service. For the live internet auction and for more information about the entire weekend, check out GetBehindTheBadge.org.
We're back with Fight Back. Here once again is Dr. Bob Petrakis.
Fight the power. Fight the power. You got to fight the power.
Let me hear you say it. Let me see you on Tuesday, July 24th, 7:30 p.m. at the Drexel Theater, 2254 East Main Street in Bexley. Because the movie by Derek Jones features not only Natural, who's on the line with us, but Michelle Alexander, who wrote the new Jim Crow, Kunta Kinyata, Dr. Michelle Brown, Cynthia McKinney, I've worked as her lawyer, the great congresswoman, Dr. Angela Davis, that's right, Angela Davis, Mansfield Fraser, Nikki Schwartz, who was in on that negotiated deal at Lucasville, Sadiq Hassan, Senator Nina Turner, Judge Daniel Hogan, and Elvin Valentine. Some big, big names there. And Natural, who's in the movie documentary features, will be there for the discussion, as well as Derek Jones. Natural, I had posed a question to you prior to the break. What's up with this profit unit equals a prison cell?
That's probably the most honest I've ever heard of the Corrections Corporation of America being. That's a very candid way of referring to what it is the prison cells absolutely are. I don't know. I have to be completely honest with you in that I've done a little bit more research with GEO, or GEO, formerly known as Wackenhut.
Oh,
those
yes.
Two corporations are the largest of, you know, privatizing and contracting corporations for the prison system in the United States of America. And, I mean, just to, you know, give you a rough idea, I pulled up just a couple of facts in regards to what's going on with the GEO Group. You know, people should understand that there was a study done by the Justice Policy Institute last year, and that our prison population increased 722% between 1970 and 2009.
Isn't that because people got really bad? Oh,
no.
I forgot, that's when we were outsourcing all our jobs.
And that did create something. There was also, it was the war on drugs that made that huge change.
Ronald Reagan, because look, if you want to do drugs, you should only do synthesized heroin provided by the big pharmaceutical companies, not marijuana and street drugs.
I'm not sure he said that expressly. However, I think that is definitely the message that was put forward. And if you look at the statistics on addiction in our society, far more people are addicted to those synthesized opiates than probably any other drug in the United States of America, mainly because of their accessibility, as well as us being told that because a doctor prescribes it, you know, at the end of the day, it's okay. But the same thing would go for, you know, tobacco or alcohol, both of which cause many, many more deaths in the United States than anything else. And that they turn out to, you know, be legalized and not seen as something that's bad. Whereas you make a comparison between that and say, oh, marijuana, for which over 600,000 arrests have taken place in California in the last decade. And the reality is that, you know, it's much less harmful than that's science-based, that's medically-based, it's much less harmful. The GEO Group,
but it was the drug of the counterculture, wasn't it? The counterculture that hung around with the Black Panthers, and, you know, the student movement, the SDS. It looked like Ronald Wilson Reagan. Oh, my God, 666. Ronald Wilson Reagan and his former CIA director targeted the counterculture, the progressive communities in this country with this war on drugs and mass incarceration.
Well, and the interesting thing about it is that drug use at its highest has always been higher among a particular group, young white men, than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And yet and still, if you do look at the counterculture that was targeted, you're also talking about lots of individuals, maybe not those individuals who are hanging out with the individuals, but the individuals they were hanging out with. When you talk about the growth of the Black Panther Party and the Black Nationalists and Black Liberation Movements and organizations like Push Move in Philadelphia and mm-hmm. how they were targeted, you know, also the communities that they came from, which they were trying to provide services to, general services, civil liberties in other societies like the European Union. When you take that and compare it to what was going on in that regard, the dumping of drugs into our community.
Well, they allowed the open markets, right? That's where you have the open. You can't go in Columbus up to
Upper Arlington and stand on a corner and sling crack. You can barely walk in Bexley. I mean, they'll get you for walking while black. But you can go over to the east side on Main Street and stand there and prostitute and sling crack, even though most of the people buying it are white males living in the suburbs.
The funny thing is that just yesterday I was having a conversation with a dear friend of mine, and she's white. Her son and her both live in an area of Toledo that is predominantly black. And there is a lot of drug activity in this part of the neighborhood as well. And her son has been pulled over, she says, 8 times in the last year since they've been living there. And the reason is always, as he tells it, that they're fishing for information from him. They think that he's coming into the environment to purchase drugs. And that he will, because the assumption is because he is a young white male who, you know, has good vocabulary, et cetera, his license, all that good stuff, that he will automatically defer and start giving them information. And I was trying to explain to my girl, I'm like, yeah, you know, it's still racism against the blacks because the assumption is he's coming in. But there's a certain perspective of him as a young white male as well that will have them believing that he will simply turn over information or that he even has information to turn over. The assumption is that's what he's in the neighborhood for, to purchase drugs. And that's not what he's in the neighborhood. He lives in the neighborhood. He just doesn't happen to fit their ideal mold of what a young white man living in a predominantly black neighborhood should look like. So at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, we're even having very personal experiences that go to show us our system is working to target a certain demographic of people and put them into this prison industry, which earned the GEO group earned them $1.27 billion in revenue in 2010, and $842 million of that, like half of that, was basically from corrections contracts with 11 states. If they can make that kind of money off of 11 states, imagine how much money they could make off of 50 states and a District of Columbia.
And Wackenhut is an interesting example because they're also tied to the security industrial complex. They provide the guards, I know, because they threatened to beat me at Patel, which is the CIA's favorite laboratory, which, by the way, just happens to control the anthrax, militarized anthrax in the U.S. Under U.S. Treaty. And they also show up in Iraq and Afghanistan as private security in the green zone and at prisons there. So Wackenhut is everywhere.
Yeah.
They're fully integrated into all aspects of the security, prison, military, industrial complex. Full service oppression.
Absolutely. And even you can see all the attachment of that in knowing that they contract with 13 states, the Federal Bureau of Prisons, the Marshal Service, mm-hmm. the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, et cetera, et cetera. They've got their hands in everything. And all of those things are not just considered to be prison issues, but they are military issues as well. And so at the end of the day, I mean, it's clear that the connectivity is there and the need for profit or the ability for profit is completely contingent upon having bodies involved in these institutions. If there are no bodies, if the war on drugs were to, you know, be abolished as well and changed, or the target was to change, if the California three strikes law was repealed, you know, if life sentences for small offenses and the disparity between drugs, crack cocaine at one point in time carrying a 100 times heavier sentence than powder cocaine, if these things change and legislators who are often lobbied and somehow end up with lots of money in their pockets to make certain decisions were not available to companies like the GEO Group or Wackenhut and Corrections Corporation of America, that would clearly create a problem for them. And so to suggest that they would be trying to stop what's happening in America socially, it would be a conflict of interest. Their interest is to earn money.
Well, isn't the real factor here above all else control? Doesn't this go back to sort of a social, economic, racist system of control? And really extracting population from most of the people in any way necessary. And this is just a new way to, you know, make a lot of money off human misery or get people to go out and jack other people's resources and to pay people money to spy on your own population. And then you've got the check-cashing vampires and the other industries that, mop up the less, the rent-to-rob people as well, and, sort of the junk food places where, you can't get any fresh vegetables over on the east side of Columbus, but you can get plenty of 40s and Lay's potato chips. It seems like it's all integrated, and nobody wants to talk about it. Derek, how do you see this?
It is. It's just an addition to what the United States has always been and what it has fought to be from the beginning, and it's very important to understand that we established a system that it is communicated to the citizenry that the system is established for freedom and justice, and we were throwing off our British oppressors and different things like that. And that's really not the case. The case is not really to throw away that type of oppression. It was just to be able to reap the benefits of it themselves instead of having Britain, reap the benefits of this exploitation. And it just permeates every level of society, and it has to continue it has to be socialized in a manner that we accept it, we ask for it, we live by it, we consider it to be our culture. But we're put in that situation under the guise of freedom and democracy and that we have choices out here. But once you're in the system, you have no choice. And if we can't get you in this prison system, we'll get you in this military system. We'll get you in this education system. We'll get you in this health system. We'll get you in any type of system that we have to do that is actually going to limit your freedoms and make it so that you have dependence on this, this empire. I didn't mention media as well. I mean, all of these systems mm-hmm. working together because they're run by and owned by the same block of people who understand and desire this power and this control, and they understand what they need to do in order to keep us in this subordinate position. And I did want to make sure to mention too, as far as the film, we do have a trailer for the film. We have a Facebook page. People can go on Facebook and they can look up facebook.com/darklittlesecretmovie, and we have a Facebook page detailing our screenings, and we have a trailer for the film so people can see what they're going to can expect from it.
And again, Derek Jones, the filmmaker and natural who's featured in the film, will be here on Tuesday, July 24th, 7:30 at the Drexel Theater, 2254 East Main Street. And the movie is free. I'm going to be there, and Derek and Natural are going to lead a discussion afterwards. And I know we don't got too much time here, but when you're talking about media, I'm wondering about the culture. We got 2 minutes left, but sounds like a topic for another show. But the rise of gangster rap when the white-owned corporations came in and bought up the distribution among many of the hip-hop labels, and they turned towards promoting essentially a violent prison culture, glorifying it and making big money. Is that something that we should be thinking about, Natural or Derek?
It's as much an orchestration as every other part of media that has inundated our culture now. To present a world that was innately negative as something that was positive is something that it just the rise of hip hop music, the connectivity to drug culture in regards to the gangster rap side of things, and ultimately there was a reason why that music was able to blow up the way that it did, when it did, at the time that it did. It created a fantasy for everyone to strive for. You know, things may be shifting a little bit now at this point in time. I mean, now we've got Drake and Snooki, completely different versions of the same thing, something that will inundate a culture and glorify something that really, you know, should only be seen as what it is, which is fiction in most cases. make you believe that you can relate to something when they tap into poverty, and yet many of these, gangster rappers from then now have been a part of the 1% for a very long time. When you consider cats like Snoop Dogg or Dr. Dre, they've not made under $400,000 a year for a long while. And the relating to their culture is not something the average individual can do.
All right.
got to run, but you want to hear more from Natural and Derek Jones Tuesday, July 24th, 7:30 p.m. Free movie, Drexel Theater, 2254 East Main Street. And I asked the question philosophically, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Fight the powers that be. Dr. Bob, I'm out of here.
The Good Fight continues with Dr. Bob next Saturday at 11 a.m. Get your friends and family to join the fight right here on the air or over the internet at WVKO1580.com. Fight Back is produced in part by the Columbus Free Press and 1580 WVKO.
Your one true voice of reason in Central Ohio, AM 1580, WVKO, Columbus.
NBC News Radio, I'm Alex Witt. Today, moviegoers who survived the Aurora, Colorado massacre are trying to cope with the shooting that left 12 dead and 58 injured. Jamie Roars was in the theater with his two small children.
I was like, his head's exposed. He's going to get shot. I'm just thinking, should I play dead? Are they coming up the stairs? Like, how many are there? Like, is it still just the game? Is it, like, what do I do? What do I do? And, like, you hear screaming, and you're like, no, it's not a game. People are dying. People are dying.
Suspect James Holmes remains in custody. Police and victims are still asking why.
Today, detectives have no motive and believe Holmes acted alone. Just 4 miles from the crime scene, police swarmed his apartment.
That's NBC's Miguel Almaguer in Aurora. Police continue to take a cautious approach while investigating Holmes' apartment. It is believed to be booby-trapped with tripwires and explosives, but they do plan to enter sometime today. This is NBC News Radio. The red-hot rhetoric of a political campaign